Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
How many had days like that? Weeks? Maybe even months like that? How about a year? How many ever had a year like that? It's just like, come on, just get over. How much can I handle? You know, so many times in our life, we get stuck in these ruts. And we just get to the point where we're just merely existing. You know, we're not really living. We're just here. We're just going through the motions. And so much of that time, I just want to say it's our own fault. If you really get down to it, you can't look at others and go, it's your fault that I'm just merely existing. They can't change you. You can't change them. Only you can change you, and only they can change them. That's a message for all you husbands and wife out there. Stop trying to change each other. It's just not going to happen. But our existence, our life here on this earth, was never meant to be the Groundhog Day. I mean, how many want to get up in the morning, tomorrow morning on Monday, and just take that alarm clock and slam it on the ground and go, I just don't even want to do Monday? Sometimes we get like that. I don't want to go to work. I don't like the people I work with. I work for myself. I mean, honestly, you just get to this point where, you know, it's a burden. How do you think of people around you feel? They don't want you there either. Right? I mean, it's a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, you get to that point and you're just grumpy all the time. You're just frustrated all the time. You're just going through the motions. I guarantee you, we don't want you around us either. I guarantee you my family, I get in those moods. I guarantee you my wife, she don't want nobody want me nowhere around her when I get like that. My kids, they don't want me anywhere around them. And quite honestly, when they get like that, I don't want to be around them. God didn't create us to live that kind of existence. If you've seen the movie Groundhog Day, you know that Phil gets caught in this rut. He gets sent on this assignment that he thinks is a dumb assignment. He doesn't really want to go there, so he goes up there just going through the motions. He gets through the first day. Thinks it's the only day. They get stuck in a snowstorm, and he's got to spend the night there. And the nightmare begins. He gets up the next day thinking, I'm going to get out of here, and guess what? It's Groundhog Day all over again. Last night, I'm on Facebook, and I saw this meme, and it said they ought to come out with a sequel to Groundhog Day. Make this big to-do about it, and then re-release the same movie. Right? Right? I mean, it'd be hilarious. Because that's like Groundhog Day. It's just the same thing over and over again. Well, Phil goes through this time where he says, I'm going to be creative. I'm going to do some stuff and just see if I can make this in. And so he gets to the point where he walks in front of buses and he falls off of things and he tries to kill himself. But every time he does it, he gets up the next morning, that stupid alarm clock goes off and it starts all over again. So then he gets to the point where he says, I'm going to be creative and try to do things that I benefit from. And so he goes through all that. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It's just the same thing. Can't get out of this rut. It doesn't happen until Phil realizes that the only way I'm going to get out of this is if I start being creative, if I start engaging life for the benefit of those around me. It's at that point I get out of the rut. And I propose to you today that's exactly how we were created. God created us to engage in this world, to engage in this life in a creative manner, to please Him, and to benefit those around us. In Genesis 1, it says, and God created the heavens and the earth. Let me just say this. I am so thankful that God was creative in His creation. I'm thankful there's deserts. I think there's, in their own right, they're beautiful. I'm glad I don't live there. I'm thankful that God created the mountains. They're beautiful. They're majestic. I don't want to live up there. It snows. Snow's beautiful. From a distance, I like this weather. I like flip-flops. I like shorts. I enjoy the heat. I'm thankful that God created the Midwest. That's where I grew up. But I am so thankful He brought me to the East Coast. It is gorgeous out here. We got beaches. We got the ocean. We don't have that in St. Louis. We don't have that in the Midwest. It's beautiful in its own right. But I like it out here. How about anybody else? They enjoy the creation. The Grand Canyon. It's just beautiful. God is creative. What about all the animals that He created? You see, God spoke and he brought all these animals into existence. And man, they're some fascinating animals. Then he created man. And he put man, he created this garden for man to live in. And he put man in the middle of this garden. And he said, all right, Adam, I want you to engage in life. And so he brought all the animals in front of Adam and said, whatever you name them, that's going to be their name for all eternity. I'm sure they've changed a little bit, but they're still pretty close to that. I want you to just picture with me for a moment. Adam says, okay, but I don't know what to name them. And so I'm not going to put much effort into it. You bring the first one by, and I'm going to name it, and then after that, I'm just going to change that name a little bit. We're just going to use the same name. So let's just say for sake of the argument that the first thing that God brings by Adam is a cow. Back then, they weren't good to eat, right? Because they weren't created for us to eat at that point. The herbs and everything else. So he says, all right, that's pretty. We're going to call it a cow. The next thing that God brings by is this little thing. It's got these funny feet, little three toes, and it's got feathers or something all over it. It's got this scrawny little neck, and it's got this beak on it. And he says, well, that's a cow with feathers. You don't want to do this. He's not going to be creative. And God brings by this beautiful, long-legged, long-necked animal, and Adam says, that's just a long-necked, long-legged cow. And then he brings by this thing. It's got this big trunk that hangs off of it, and he says, that's the funniest cow I've ever seen, but we're going to call that the long-nosed cow, right? And he doesn't engage in life, and he just calls them all the same thing. He just changes the description of them. How boring would our life be if everything was a cow? Right? I mean, it's crazy. And then you start looking at the creativity of God in his creation. How many have ever seen a duckbill platypus? That is creative, right? I mean, it's just fascinating. How many have heard of a catfish, right? How about a spoonbill catfish? Anybody ever heard of one of those or caught one of those? You ought to look it up. It's this catfish-looking animal that has this long spoon that comes out of the front of its nose. It's gorgeous. Weird, but gorgeous. What about the aardvark, the anteater, right? Crazy looking animal. Or how about this one we see around here, a possum. I have no clue what they're good for. They're ugly, mean, hiss at you. I mean, come on. But just look at the creativity of God in creation. Think about just you. Think about your eye. Do you realize that scientists now, when they are studying and dissecting just the eye, many of them are coming to a conclusion of this. It is so complex. There is so much into the making of a single eye, it didn't happen by accident. Now, many of them aren't going to the point where they say it's God who did it, but they're going to the point where they're saying there has to be a or some type of creator. That is creativity. When the eye in and of itself is so complex that you see the creativity. Just think about your body. How does your body heal itself? Isn't that amazing? I mean, honestly, it's just, you get a cut, and a few days later, it's gone. Right? It's just an amazing thing. And so you have this creative God who created, he used his creativity and created the heavens and the earth. He created man, and he said, Adam, you need to engage in life, and you need to do so creatively. You see, even after the fall, we see the creativity of Adam. You see, before, God said, here's the garden, everything is good to eat except for one tree. Don't eat that. After that, he said, now you got to work for it. How many want to slap Adam? Yeah, me too. But we would have done it. We can't just pick on Adam. We would have done the same thing. And so after that, he sends Adam out and he says, all right, Adam, now you got to work for it. He hasn't worked for it yet. So how does he know what to do? The creativity that God put in him. He begins to till the ground. He begins to plant the ground. He begins to harvest. He teaches his sons how to hunt, how to fish. Where'd all that come from? The creativity that God had put in him. And he told them, engage in this life. Engage. Don't just go through the humdrum. Don't just let it become mere existence, but engage in the life and use what I've given you to be creative. And so he does it. And when I look at Scripture, there are many reasons, but for today, for this purpose, there are two reasons that I think God made us creative. to bring him glory and to benefit those around us. To bring him glory and to benefit those around us. And so in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, it is God who's at work in you. God is working in your life. To me, that's fascinating. Why would he want to work in my life? But it's God who's working in your life for what? To will and to work for his own good pleasure. To put a smile on his face. How many of you got kids? How many of you been a kid? Yeah, right, right. So hopefully you remember at least being part of your childhood. And so you would go to school. And early on, you'd be creative. I can remember my brother was a little older than me. And I grew up in this independent, fundamental Baptist environment. If you understand that, here's what it is. You didn't live. We didn't believe in smoking. We didn't believe in drinking. We didn't believe in dancing. We didn't believe in playing cards. You had to wear your hair a certain way. You had to wear certain clothes. And so you were just bound by all this stuff. Well, my brother goes to school. And it was pottery day. Anybody remember pottery day in school? They'd give you some clay, and you were little, and they'd say, be creative and make something. My brother made an ashtray. Smoking was the thing in the 70s. So he comes home with an ashtray, and I looked at that, and I knew immediately what it was. I was younger than him, but I still knew what it was. And I thought, he's dead. She is going to kill him. She looks at it and goes, oh, that's beautiful. She called it something else, but still an ashtray. That's beautiful. I look at it now and go, that's the ugliest thing that I can remember of our childhood. Why did she say it was beautiful? Why did she have a smile on her face? Because her son made it. Right? How many have pictures on your refrigerators? Coloring pictures or drawings? If I were to walk in there, I'd go, what the heck is that, right? If you'd walk into my house, you'd go, what the heck is that, right? But to us, it's a work of art. Why? Because our children, our grandchildren made that, right? And so we want to nurture their creativity. At what point does a child stop being creative? Have you ever thought about that? Because if I ask you right now, how many of you are creative? Very few of you would raise your hand. Some of you would. But very few of you would raise your hand. If I ask you, how many are artists in here? Maybe a couple of you raise your hands. A lot of you would say, no, I'm not an artist. Well, who told you that? Honestly, who told you you're not creative? You see, somewhere along the lines, we begin, I'm going to use this term, browbeating our children into thinking they're not creative. We don't mean to, we don't intend to, but that's what we do. And as we grow, we think we're not creative, so if I'm not creative, then why should I try to be creative? In reality, God put it in us for all of us to be creative in our own right. Right? There's this book, I can't remember the name of it, and I can't find it. I used to always refer to it, but in this book, this gentleman goes to these schools, and he always asks, same question, elementary schools. He asks the kindergartners, who's an artist? And everybody raises their hand. Everybody. They're all artists. They go to second grade. About 70% raise their hand. And by the time they get to the fifth grade, there's only a handful of kids that actually raise their hand and say they're artistic. What happened? What happened to all the creativity? Well, somewhere along the line, somebody told them they weren't an artist. They weren't creative. Now, there's got to be a balance here. All right? I just want to just get that out there. Some of your kids can sing. Some of your kids cannot sing. You need to tell your kids that can't sing, you can't sing. If you don't tell them that, if you keep telling them they're great singers, they will end up on American Idol, and I will laugh at them, along with the rest of the United States, because they can't sing. It should not be American Idol where they find out that that's not one of their creative gifts. All right? So there's got to be a balance. But in that balance, we have to figure out in our children what their creative nature is and nurture it, or they'll lose it. They'll lose it. They can get it back, but it's a lot harder. I'm 50 years old. I got here 50 years. I'm not changing on 50 years in one day. For me to change, it's going to take years. We need to start that change. We need to start that nurturing in the child's life. That's how God created us. And so just as we want to smile with our kids, God smiles at us when we put a smile on his face. when we use what he's given us, when we use the creativity that he's given us, we put a smile on his face. It pleases him. But also, we're created to be creative. We're and to engage this world with creativity because it benefits those around us. There is a lot that could be said here, but let me just give you a couple of scriptures that back this up. I believe creativity leads to a life of fulfillment. In Hebrews 10:24, it says this, "Let us consider how we may spur, how we may encourage one another towards love and good deeds." The word consider there literally means let us put some time, some effort into this process. It's not going, hey, I think I'm going to be creative today. Probably not going to work if you've not been being creative all along. You know, you're probably going to fail. Failing's not a bad thing, but you're probably going to fail at that enough times where you're going, I'm not going to do it anymore because I'm not creative. We've got to put some thought into this. It's like a present for your spouse, right? If you wait till Christmas Eve at midnight, men, to buy your spouse, your wife, a gift, probably not going to work out real well, is it? Just saying. We've got to put some thought into this. We've got to put some effort into this. It's not like you got married Christmas Eve at 11:59, unless you did. You've had at least a whole year, or at least from the time you're married till that point, to figure out who she is and what she likes. It takes some effort, some thought process going into that. And as you do that, we need to think about how is it going to benefit them, not yourself. Because Bill Murray in the movie is very creative in a lot of ways, but he's detrimental to everybody's life. Being creative for the wrong reason doesn't help. Being creative for the right reasons benefits all of us. And then Titus 3:8 says this, "Be careful to devote yourselves to doing what is good, the things that are excellent and profitable for everyone." Not just you. Here's how it is. How many of you know this principle? The more you do for somebody else, the more you benefit them, the better off your own life is. Hey, how many ever been to a senior citizen's home? You think, I'm going to go there and bless them by my presence. Right? And you walk out of there going, oh my gosh. I've never been in such a special place with so many special people. I'll never be the same. You see, it's the thought process. It's not just about you. It is about you. When you benefit others, it benefits you, but you ought to be doing it to benefit them. And so I want to be practical from here on out, and I've picked four areas. This ought to be a part of everyday life for you. You ought to be creative in every aspect, not just one, not just two, not just three, but every aspect. That's my granddaughter. She'll get over it in a minute. And I love her to death. And so I want to talk about our relationships. You ought to be creative in your relationships. Number two, you ought to be creative in your finances. Number three, you ought to be creative with your health in a good way. You ought to be creative with your health. And then number four, you ought to be creative in your relationship with God. Now, I truly believe, Gary Smalley said this years ago, I'm going to claim it now because I've said it enough, life is relationships and the rest is just details. And so that's why I bookend these four things with relationships. Your relationship with God is the last one we're going to talk about. The relationship with others is the first one we're going to talk about. So you have a relationship. If you're married, you have a relationship with your spouse. If you're dating, you have a relationship with the one you're dating. If you're single, you have a relationship with all those around you. If you're a child, you have a relationship with your parents. You have relationships, right? They're everywhere. You can't get away from them. And so you can do one of two things. You can go through life allowing things to happen and let come what happens. Or you can be very intentional, very engaging, and being creative in your relationships. Now, here's what I'll tell you. Men, ladies, either date your spouse or somebody else will. Simple as that. Either date your spouse or somebody else. Now, what do I mean by that? How many of you have ever dated before? All right, come on now. I know it's not all arranged marriage. So we've all been, if you will, if we're old enough, we've all been in the dating scene. What did you do when you were dating your spouse? Or what do you do now when you're dating? You go all out, right? Man, you spend a lot of time in thinking about what you're going to go, where you're going to go, what you're going to do. You spend a lot of time in thinking about what's the perfect gift. You spend a lot of time you just put a lot of effort into dating, do we not? And then we get married, and what do? Yeah, we take that mask off because that ain't us, right? Right, as I'll speak from a man. Right? We got this caveman mentality when we're dating. I got to do everything I can do to get her. And once I get her, I don't have to do anything because she's mine. Come on, ladies. That's pretty accurate, right? Most cases. Unless you have a spouse that works on creativity and works on that relationship. This morning, I'm going through the message, take a break, look on Facebook, and I want to go up to Richmond, and I think I really just want to punch this guy. Because he made all of the rest of us look really bad, man. So he's a newlywed. He'll get over that. I hope not, honestly. I mean, honestly, that's what the problem is. We get over being a newlywed. I love calling my wife my bride. Why? Because how many men remember the moment that you saw your bride for the first time? Right? If you'll keep that image in your mind, she'll always be your bride. But anyway, I joke about this, but this guy in Richmond, you can look at it on Facebook or you can look it up. This guy in Richmond, his wife's only desire for Christmas was to have a white Christmas. Like, lady, it's 80 degrees. That ain't happening. Well, he got creative. He went out, and I don't know how many he got. He got some snow machines. And when they got up, she went into the kitchen, and he said, hey, I got to go do a couple things outside. I'll be back in a minute. So he goes outside, and he sets up. He's got two snow machines on the ground, and he's got one that's operated with a wand in his hand, and he covers their front yard in snow. How do you think his day went? I mean, honestly, the only thing she wanted was a white Christmas. And what did he give her? How many of you would have thought about that? Yeah, me neither. I would have said, you want a white Christmas just up north, and I'm not going because I don't like the snow, right? I mean, it's just reality. Sometimes we don't engage in life. We just step back and say, it's going to be 80 tomorrow. Not much chance of that. Where this guy said, hey, look, my wife wants a white Christmas. I don't care what the temperature is. She's getting a white Christmas. That's creativity. That's nurturing a relationship. I guarantee if he keeps that up, they might have problems, but they'll overcome every one of them. What about our kids? I mean, if you're old enough now and your kids are in that dating realm, you look back. I mean, how many of us look back? We're old enough now, we look back and go, man, I screwed this up. Anybody with me? You younger people, listen to me. Listen to your parents if they've learned these lessons. Men, we need to date our daughters from birth. Now, why do I say that? Because they're going to look for you in their husband. And if you've done it wrong, they're going to find the wrong guy. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm going to give you a couple of negative examples, but I really want to keep this positive. In the Bible, it says that the sins of the parents are cast down to the third and the fourth generations. Husbands, men, I'm going to speak directly to you. Women, it goes for you too, but I'm going to speak directly to men. Men, if you are consuming too much alcohol and treating your family wrong, guess what your daughter's going to do? She's going to find a man who consumes too much alcohol and treats her the same way. What's her daughter going to do? Look for a man who consumes too much alcohol and treats her the same way. And it goes generation after generation after generation. At some point, we have got to stop and we've got to be creative and we've got to say, enough, no more. Date your daughters from the beginning. Be creative with it. I am creative, but I'm not the most talented guy. A few years ago, I didn't know what to get my wife or my daughter for Valentine's Day because I hate buying. Anybody with me? I just don't like gifts. I really don't. It's not one of my, like when you take the survey on what's your love language, like gifts doesn't even make the chart. I just find we just get in this place where, you know, if you need it, let's go get it. If you want it and we got the money, let's go get it. I mean, just that's our lifestyle. So gifts for me don't mean a whole lot. But I know that they mean something to others. But what means more is time, a lot of times. And so, corny as it may sound, I made both my daughter and my wife a paper bouquet of flowers, and on every flower was a note why they're important to me. Now, they kept those stupid things for years. I mean, honestly, I was like, are you kidding me? But that's what I'm talking about. That's It doesn't take much. You don't have to go rent a snow machine to be creative. What you got to do is put effort into it, put time in it. What about your friends? I mean, you got a relationship with your friends. How many of us lost friends and we look back and go, I don't know what happened? Anybody? Here's what happened. You just started living life and not putting anything into it. Or they just started living life and not putting anything into it. My wife's here, so I'll keep this real short. We lost a good friend because she would not call this lady by 10 o'clock every day. That's not a friend. That's a control freak. But it hurt. I wasn't very good with it back then. So when this came up, I was like, what, your phone broke? Don't dial out? I mean, she has to call you by 10, but yours don't dial out? Probably wasn't the best thing to do. So we lost them as friends. But I look back now and go, what were some creative things that I could have done? What were some creative things that she could have done? And maybe there's nothing. But if you're being creative, you will benefit from them, even if they refuse. And so we need to think about things like that. Like tomorrow, you don't want to get up and go to work? Well, get up and go, all right, I'm going to get up and go to work, and I'm going to be creative. I got a pocket load of cash from Christmas, and I'm going to go buy everybody I work with Starbucks tomorrow. Because it's going to take a pocket load of cash. Or, you know, I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to make something that everybody can share to eat tomorrow. Do something creative. People are going to look at you and go, well, you got poison in here? What you got? I used to teach a Sunday school class, and this is one of the principles I try to teach our Sunday school class. And so we all of a sudden in this pretty good-sized church began to put muffins and danishes out for Sunday school classes. The first three Sundays, we put these. We didn't tell them anything about it because we don't really care that they – we don't want to take any credit for it, right? So we just put things out. And so we put it in their tables, and we'd go in at the end of Sunday school, and it'd all still be on the table. We're like, what are these people not hungry? Do they not like this stuff? Turned out – they didn't know who it was from or who it was for, so they didn't eat it. Three different classes. I'm like, you guys live a sheltered life. You put food in front of me, I'm eating it, whether it's mine or not. But you got to be creative. Creative with your finances. How many people, you don't have to show your hands, but how many people would say, I'm exactly where I want to be financially? That number is very low, by the way. And so a lot of times anybody familiar with Larry Burkett? You guys are probably administrative in nature. And so you like Larry Burkett, or you know Larry Burkett. Larry Burkett, he has a wonderful system, don't get me wrong, but it's very tedious in nature. It's, you got to fill every square, you got to fill every block. Man, I am ADD, I can't do that. That just bores me. How many do a budget? Anybody do a budget? See, budget, man, they drive me nuts. So how many know Dave Ramsey? Dave Ramsey will keep you laughing the whole time he's telling you to build a budget. You build a budget, and you don't even know you built a budget because it was fun. See, I connect to Dave much more than Larry. And they teach the same principles, but Dave does it in a way that connects with me because he's being creative. Larry does it in a way that's creative, that connects with different people. So they're not, neither one of them are right. They're both doing the same thing. And so it's being creative in what they do. And so I will watch Dave, but I will not watch Larry. You got to be creative with your resources. How many of you, this time of year, everybody makes goals, and usually by the second week or the third week in January, you've given up. Like, there's one thing out there now with your money that says, for every week of the year, deposit a dollar into a jar, right? So this first week, you deposit a dollar. The second week, that's 2 weeks, so you deposit $2. The third week, you deposit $3. And the fourth week, you gave up because you only got $9 in the jar. Right? Because, I mean, we're an instant society. We want to see something for what we're doing. And so we just give up, right? I mean, by about the third or fourth week, we're like, I'm not doing this. So I'm reading up on this, and there's a guy who's being creative. He's like, don't do that. And I'm like, what, don't save money? So I keep reading the article. He's like, nobody will keep that up throughout the year. Not necessarily nobody. Most people won't keep that up throughout the year. And so he says, do it in reverse. Put $52 in the jar the first week. Put $51, yes, see, it's connecting. Put $51 in the second week. Now how much you got? 103. We're making progress. I'm going to keep this up, right? And now go beyond that. Start figuring out what the interest would be if you put that in some kind of fund that would draw interest and put that much in the jar and do that all year long. Now what do you got? You got a pocket load of cash with no plan, and you're going to go out and blow it next Christmas. Right? Right? If you didn't build a plan for it, somebody else has got a plan. How many went to Walmart? How many noticed that in Walmart, the aisles completely changed for the Christmas season? Right? There is junk everywhere. There are bins upon bins upon bins everywhere. Normally, you only see those if you go at night and it's people restocking. But during the Christmas season, it's all stuff for you to buy. Why? Because they got a plan for your money. They're creative, right? Those aisles, the lines that you have to wait in, that's being creative. If I got you right through the store, you wouldn't buy all that junk that's up there at the end that you don't need, that wasn't on your list, that you decided you were going to buy anyway because you had to wait too long to get out of the store, right? I mean, that's being creative. And so we have this idea, we've got to be creative with the money because other people are going to be creative with it, and it don't belong to them yet. It's your money. It's God's money. And so we've got to find ways to be creative with our money. How about how many people love to run and exercise? Anybody here like that? How many people hate that? Right? Yeah, I hate. I got a belly. You know why? Because I like to eat and not run. I don't like working out. I never have. I don't know that I ever will. But I need to work out. Why? Because it's healthy for me. So I'm trying to figure out how can I be creative. So I found a video. I was really debating on which ones to show you. If you just Google funny workouts, you will see some crazy stuff. I didn't know whether to show you one just of joke people were playing or somebody that was really creative in how he was working out. And so I chose the latter. So watch this video for a second.
It's quitter time. You're 29 and a half. That's the first time I've ever done super cardio. All right. So give me like a bad boy consideration, all right?
Come on, I'd have ended up in the hospital, but if I went to that gym, you know where I'd work out? Right next to that guy. Why? Because that would be motivation, right? When we're creative, it's attractive, and that guy, I guarantee you, I would be friends with that guy if I knew where he lived. Why? Because I bet his whole life is just like that. I bet that guy is one of the most creative guys around. I bet he has a great time in life, and I bet people around him have a wonderful time with him. That is creative. I can't do that. But I bet if I hang him around enough, I figure out some ways to be creative in my workout. I guarantee he don't just do that on a treadmill. He probably does that in every aspect of his workout. How about being healthy? How about food? You know, here in a few minutes, we're going to leave this place, and you're going to go get some food. Now, here's how it's going to work. You're going to look at your spouse, and you go, what do you want to eat? And the answer is, I don't know. And your spouse is going to look at you and go, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Well, what sounds good? Nothing. Right? Why? Because most restaurants are not creative. But when you find a restaurant who has a chef that's creative, you have a place like the Fat Canary or Indulgence where they do a rotating menu where you can go in there from season to season. You're not going to get the same thing. My son works at We used to work at one of those restaurants, now works at Indulge, and he is one of those chefs that says, I'm going to cook creatively. I can't afford to go eat where he works, but he's my son, so I get it for free. He comes home, and so he is very creative. You know, how many ways are there to fix chicken? A lot, right? So why do we do it the same way all the time, every time? Yeah, but eventually, see, you're young, it tastes good. What's it taste like now? Not so much, right? I've had that chicken that way too many times. And so we got to be creative with our health and the way we eat. And here, I got to quickly get this one. We got to be creative with our relationship with God. This time of year is a time that we like to make goals and New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call them. And in the end, most of the time, by the end of January at the longest, sometimes into February, we finally give up. And our relationship with God is one of those areas. Sometime, somewhere in history, somebody came up with this idea. It would be great. It's a creative way to stay in touch with God. It would be great for us to read through the Bible in a year. And it is, it's a good thing, right? But now, instead of being something creative, it is now something rut-worthy that we just do because that's what everybody else does. That's the time of the year that we're supposed to read through the Bible. In the beginning of the year, we're supposed to start it. And we begin and we start strong. And about the 3rd of January, we're like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to end? Right? I mean, you might make it through Genesis, and then you get to Leviticus and Numbers and Ecclesiastes and Psalm of Solomon, and you're like, what in the world? Why did I start this? How many of you have ever started a reading plan, even one day, you got to read like 7 chapters a day, and you read those 7 chapters, and at the end of the reading, you're like, what did I just read? Right? I mean, anybody with me? Here's a creative thing to do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love for you to read through the Bible. It's a fascinating work. But if you read through it and don't get anything out of it, what's the point? Here's what I would rather you do. Grab one scripture a week, and you read that scripture, and you ask God to reveal something to you. And you just think about that scripture throughout the day for a week. You'll be more creative through the end of that process than you ever will be reading through the Bible without any creativity. Same way with prayer. How many of you here, you need to pray an hour a day? That's what most preachers say. And it's not a bad thing. If you can pray an hour a day, pray an hour a day. I'm ADD. Man, I make it like 10 seconds and my mind's off somewhere else. Anybody with me? I mean, how many of you have ever started out, I'm going to pray 15 minutes, strong, I'm going to start small. And you go and you go and you go and you look at your watch and it's been like 31 seconds. Right? I mean, anybody with me? Am I the only one? Yeah, see? See? Okay. So how about this? It says in the Bible, pray without ceasing. What's that mean? You can't pray every second of the day, every hour of the day. I think what it means is have an attitude, a lifestyle of prayer. Be creative with it. So what's creative? I don't know. Pick an hour, an alarm, an hour on the hour. Every time the clock changes an hour. That you're awake, you stop and go, all right, God, I want to just thank you for the last hour I spent. I saw you work here. I saw you work there. Thank you. Move on. Alarm goes off next hour. All right, God. And you just do that. And then you don't do that for the whole year because what's that become? A rut. So you change it up and you go, all right, 3 times during the day, I'm going to pray. Or whatever. Be creative in your relationship with God so it doesn't become a rut. We need to serve. Be creative in your serving. Here, now, Jesus is our example, right? He's the one we should be emulating. Let me ask you a question. How many ways did Jesus heal people? Just one, right? Always the same way. No. I mean, just off the top of my head, he healed people by touching them. Most of the time, the ones he touched were the dirtiest, but he touched them. He healed people by speaking it. He healed one guy by never even seeing him, never meeting him, just telling his master, go, your servant is healed. He healed one by spitting in the dirt, making a salve and sticking it. That's nasty. I mean, you got to be somebody to let somebody put spit on you. But you got to trust Jesus to do that. He let one lady touch him that we know of, and she was healed. Now, if Jesus, just with the healing miracles, is that creative, and he's our example, how much more should we be creative with what he's given us? I mean, think about the other miracles. Water into wine. That's pretty creative, right? A handful of fish and a few loaves of bread and fed the multitudes. That's creative. I mean, just step in a boat and you're on the other side. Man, and we thought transporters were something that we created. Jesus did that. You know, beam me up, Scotty. That's out of the Bible. He stepped in a boat and they went to the other side. Read it for yourself. Right? Creativity. There's a reason that we should be creative. So life doesn't become boring. So life doesn't become the Groundhog Day effect. So life doesn't become something that it was never intended to be, but it's always vibrant See, the groundhog effect leads to frustration. Anybody been frustrated? It leads to depression. It leads to everything that was never intended for us to experience. And creativity changes all of that. Sorry, we're at this time of the year, right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to vow today to be creative for the next 365 days. Nah, it's not going to happen. Right? That would be dumb. Pick an area and say, how can I be creative? And then watch what happens. Reward yourself. Watch how God rewards you. And then pick another area. You just work at it. It's going to take you a while. But Jesus was creative. God was creative. And he created us to engage this world through creativity. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you so much that you are not boring. That if we're in tune with you, that every day will be something new. That every day will be a new day with you. The way you speak to us, the way you love us, the way you provide for us. God, help us to be creative to those around us, that we might be a benefit to them, that we might put a smile on your face and cause them to know you a little bit more. Father, we love you so much. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.